going to switch to Israel. Normally, we would be going to Jerusalem to talk to David Dolan, our broadcast partner there. But instead, he's on the coast of Israel at a location called Ashkelon, the city of Ashkelon. And David, as I understand it, you've been there a couple of days. By the way, you just got back from the Greek Isles. You have to be on a coast someplace to be able to swim all the time, do you not?
Well, I'm working on a new novel, and it's a good place, to work near the beach. So I can either do that here or in Jerusalem, but I am heading back up to my home there tomorrow. So I'll be back up in the Holy City. But, yeah, the beach is not bad here.
The beach is not bad. Well, let's get serious for a moment, though. The first day or two that you got there, Hamas sent some missiles into Ashkelon. This is probably the, as I understand it, worst attack on Ashkelon that has been perpetrated upon the city and the community there by the terrorist organization Hamas.
Well, you're right, Jimmy. I'd just been here a couple days, and I was just waking up and trying to push myself out of bed 8:20 in the morning a week ago, a little bit more, Friday, and I heard a loud explosion, and I jumped up out of the bed and raced to the door and went out on the balcony where I'm staying, friend's home here, and I thought that must have been a bomb. And sadly, it was. It was an Iranian-produced Grad rocket. They're Chinese-made, very powerful rockets. These are much more powerful than the Qassams that Hamas usually fires. And it landed about half a mile from where I'm staying, and right outside of an apartment building. It, fortunately, praise the Lord, didn't kill anyone, but it did destroy some cars. It blew out a lot of windows and create a lot of havoc in the city, as you can imagine. And the next day, Jimmy, a week ago today, there was a rocket attack on Sidra, which is also close to here. I didn't hear that one. It was 9:30 at night. That one caused even more damage. It destroyed a building which is normally occupied during weekdays by Israelis. It's a public building, normally till 10 at night. There's people there, but because it was a Saturday night, nobody was in the building, but there was substantial damage. And both of these, is all I can say, were miracles that no Israelis were hit or killed. It could have been much worse. And then, of course, we had the rockets from Egypt into Eilat, and two of them landed in Aqaba in Jordan. That was just 2 days later. And then the incident at the border with Iran, Lebanon the next day. So it was a lot going on, and a lot of people here very concerned as to, what this may all be pointing towards.
Absolutely. And by the way, let me just tell those eavesdropping on the conversation, you may hear a little crackling in the sound as we talk with David Dolan there in Ashkelon. He's on a cell phone, but we needed to be able to talk with him about some of the activities that are taking place. David, we have about less than 2 minutes. Just help me to get started on this situation at Israel's northern border, a border crossing location there, where the Israelis seemingly were still on the Israeli side of the border when the incident took place. Now, that's been reported. You talked about it just briefly, but the Lebanese president was there earlier today and made a statement that he's going to supply the Lebanese armed forces with better, more powerful weapons. This does not seem like it's going to settle down.
Well, it doesn't, Jimmy. That was up where I first lived when I came to Israel 30 years ago, near Kiryat Shmona. I was on Kibbutz Hagoshrim near there. It occurred up there on Tuesday. And the UN itself has said the Israelis were still within Israeli territory, the blue line, they call it, the line that was demarcated after the 2006 war to establish exactly where the border is. They were just trimming some trees so they had a better view into Lebanon, and this incident occurred, very serious incident indeed. And, Jimmy, these Lebanese forces have received most of their arms from the United States.
Mm. David, just before we continue on, Ascalon is right above the Gazas, is it not?
Jimmy, it is. I was just this afternoon at the beach, and you can see the Israeli electric plant is just about a mile north of the Gaza Strip, very close by. We're about 7 miles north, and we don't get hit here. I should say, not we, because I don't live here, but I have friends that have a house here, and I come usually once a year to the beach and visit the city. It's a lovely coastal city, really, but they do get hit by rockets, and during the war a year and a half ago, extensively. There was an attack on a shopping mall here that killed a woman and her daughter and another woman in a beauty parlor, and they've had lots of stuff over the years. So it's not pleasant to wake up, as I told you last segment, to a bomb exploding and to know that it's probably a rocket, and that's what it was. So, you know, life goes on. People were at the beach today, and they're carrying on with their lives. But you can tell everybody's keeping an ear, you know, cocked in case there's some sirens, which we had a week ago when this attack came, but only for 20 seconds beforehand. They're keeping eyes on what's going on because it's very close. And, of course, Hamas rules it. And Ashkelon, there's no military targets here. When they shoot rockets here, they're deliberately firing on civilians.
Yes,
and I think Americans need to understand that. They are not attacking Israeli military forces. They are attacking civilians. So when they complain that Israel, you know, has killed their civilians, when it replies to these things, well, hello, they are deliberately striking civilian targets.
Absolutely. Well, let's get back to the military skirmish that took place there at the northern border. The Lebanese president saying he's going to get more powerful weapons. You report now to us most of these weapons coming supplied by the United States.
Well, that's right, Jimmy. Over $100 million. In fact, Lebanon, besides Israel, is the second largest recipient of U.S. military aid in the world. And there's a purpose for that. They're trying to counter Hezbollah. They're trying to counter Syria. Iran and these, you know, this radical axis that is very anti-American as well as anti-Israel. But a majority of the Lebanese soldiers are Shiites, just as Hezbollah is a Shiite force, and some of the commanders are Shiites, and there is obviously some cooperation going on there. And UNIFIL did confirm that Israel informed it, as they normally do, they always do, that they were going to go to the border and cut some tree limbs. They told them in advance so they could tell the Lebanese army to inform them. This is not a provocative act. They're just cutting some limbs. So UNIFIL told the Lebanese army. They obviously told Hezbollah because there were Hezbollah media reporters, there were Hezbollah gunmen that had come to the area, obviously expecting a clash. And the Lebanese soldiers opened fire not on the guys right at the border that were cutting these tree limbs, but at the Israeli guard post 150 meters away, and killed a senior Israeli commander, 44-year-old man with four children, and severely wounded another Israeli soldier who's from Ethiopia, actually, a black Israeli, who has a sterling record in the army here. People know of him from previous activity, and he's still in hospital clinging to his life. And, you know, the Israelis were cutting some tree limbs. I mean, and UNIFIL said stop this only because the Lebanese army said they're violating our border, but it was in an area that later UNIFIL confirmed was Israeli territory. So there was it was unprovoked. There was no reason for the Lebanese army to do this. And the question here in Israel is, was this an isolated incident, a commander locally ordering this, or was it from higher up? And because these Hezbollah media people were there, you know, they don't normally stick around the border. It seems like it was pre-planned, pre-organized. They had advance word of it. And so the Israelis are wondering, does this signal that, you know, we're facing a larger conflict in the future here, not just with Hezbollah, but with the Lebanese army and military forces that the U.S. is the main supplier of?
And in light of that, Uzi Dayan, who is the head of the National Security Council there in Israel, making a statement this week that Israel must fight to win. We have reflections, of course, of 2006 and what took place there at Israel's northern border between the Israeli Defense Force troops and Hezbollah as that cross-border war did take place. What are you thinking about the fact that Dayan, head of the National Security Council, making this pretty tough statement?
Well, and some other very similar statements from Israeli officials, Jimmy. What we're facing here really, and you and I have been talking about this for years now, several years, is Iran. Iran wanting to see Israel destroyed, saying Israel will be wiped out, completely annihilated as a country. And here is Hezbollah, a puppet force of theirs. They arm it, they train it, they run it. But now it appears that Hezbollah is so powerful that they are taking over the Lebanese government, the U.S. armed Lebanese military forces. And so Israel is facing Lebanon, Syria, and Iran, three sovereign countries, as potential adversaries in any coming war. And this, of course, with the background of Iran continuing its nuclear program. So it's a very serious situation, and the Israelis are very, very concerned about it. And they've stated that this week, even, Israeli leaders, that if there is a renewal of Hezbollah shelling into Israel, the Lebanese government will be held responsible. In other words, you know, they can't say, oh, we don't control this militia. It's just in the south of our country, and it does its own thing. No. It's the same with Hamas in Gaza. Hamas rules Gaza, and any rockets that come from Gaza into Israel, Hamas is responsible. And any rockets that come from Lebanon into Israel, the Lebanese government from now on will be responsible. So the Israelis are, frankly, preparing for a possible conflict with some of these sovereign states, and they've had it before. They're not happy about that, but what can they do? You know, they're just trying to survive. People are living their lives. Nobody asked for rockets to be fired here into Ashkelon or for this incident in the north, but if they happen, they happen.
Absolutely. Well, just evidence of the tough neighborhood that the Jewish state of Israel is living in, and we need to have the details behind the story. Headlines here in the United States, of course, reading that the Israelis crossed the border into Lebanon, threatening the sovereignty of the state of the Lebanese people. With the details explained to us by David Dolan, our broadcast partner, we understand the truth behind the incident that did take place. David, enjoy your sojourn there in Ashkelon on the beach, and in the fact that you're writing a novel, we're looking forward to maybe talking about that in the future as well. But I'm sure we'll have another conversation about all the geopolitical activities unfolding there in Israel. Thank you, David, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.